Everyone loves football.
This is First and Ten.
Booty time!
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, we are firing it up. First and Ten, the show that is all things about football. But first, a baseball note. Congrats to both the Nationals and the Rays on their advancing in the wild card round.
Wow, what a week. I mean, if you went to bed when the Nationals were down 3-1, and I almost turned it off. I thought, I'll just watch it all to the end. What a brutal, brutal ending.
Yep.
Woo!
Not for
the Nationals. Great for them. But wow, that was tough.
But that's postseason baseball,
yes,
right? The game is never over.
Poor
There's
Brewers.
No clock. There's always this possibility of a turnaround. And congrats to the Rays. You actually were hoping from an Astros perspective that it, in fact, would be the Rays facing the Astros.
I mean, it's picking the lesser of two evils
when
you look at it. I mean, both are going to be tough, but the A's have had the Astros numbers winning six of the last eight against them. And so as much as I grew up with those boys and I'm an athletics fan in my heart, I did not want the Astros to face.
No, I think that's the real reason. She didn't want to see the Astros beat up on the A's again.
But no, actually not. Look at the history.
Ron's calling you out.
History.
I give him some credit.
He knows I'm a homie.
Yeah, no, every now and then the gloss needs to be held accountable for her words.
Okay, I do want y'all both to help me out with something here. So the poor rookie that was in right field for the Brewers on Tuesday night, you know, where the ball went through, I can't even remember his name. He was in for Christian Yelich, you know, who's now out. Of course, he's going to carry this forever because it was a season-changing, maybe franchise-changing moment. I don't know. But he didn't load the bases. Josh Hader loaded the bases. So can we get a little lift for this poor guy? Come on, help me here.
Ron, you going to give him some grace there?
No, we can give him some lift. But, I mean, you know, he made a little league error.
Yeah, he did.
You know? Little league. I mean, I hear my son's on a select travel team, and they tell him all the time, don't come at the side. Go straight with your body. Let it hit you in the chest. Go right at it. And he was coming around. He was being cute.
Mm. Oh. But it is true that he didn't load those bases.
Fair enough.
Right.
Very true.
But yeah. Oh, man. Haters going to hate on that one.
All right. When we come back, we get to talk to former head coach of the Raiders and the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. And Carly, you're a buzz about this one.
Oh, my gosh. I just got to calm down.
We'll ask Jack Del Rio about the Raiders and the suspension of Vontaze Burfict. Was 1 year too much? When we return, SB Nation Radio.
This is First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and joining us now here on SB Nation Radio is former NFL head coach of the Jaguars and the Raiders, head coach Jack Del Rio. Jack, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Yeah, good to be on with you.
Let me just preface this by telling you that my co-host Carla here, her heart is palpitating. She is almost flush. Because she's a Trojan. She's a rabid Raiders fan.
I grew up in Castro Valley. Went to high school right below you at Moreau. I've been following you throughout your career, Jack. I mean, literally following you. You should probably be nervous.
Do you know the word stalker? Have you ever looked it up? I think it's Carla.
A fellow East Bay person. I appreciate it, Carla. Right on.
Right on. And Princess of Darkness since birth. So there we go. We're glad to have you in. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. You bet. Good to be on.
Okay, Jack, can I take you with some questions about your former team, the Raiders? Obviously, there was a complete circus during their entire training camp. How do you think Mike Mayock, John Gruden, and the team really handled everything that happened with Antonio Brown? And it was a circus, from the feet to the helmet to the video of the private conversation on YouTube with John Gruden. How did they handle that, and what would you have done in the same situation?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate. Whenever you're on that Hard Knocks program, you know, you get a lot of drama that's involved, because that's what they want. I mean,
right.
that's what sells on TV. So to me, I find it can be disruptive, and in particular, if you have, you know, a couple people that really want the camera, and that becomes more important than the work they need to do while they're in camp. So it was filled with distractions. I thought that they fought through it, you know, and, you know, all in all, I think they probably kept a lot of what could have been on the air from getting there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though it seems like it was a lot, probably was a credit for John and Mike to be able to keep it contained as much as they did.
So just when I thought, wow, they got through a whole training camp and I haven't even heard the words Vontaze Burfict. That's so exciting. And voila, here we go. He has resurfaced. Currently, he's suspended for a year by the NFL. He will be appealing that suspension. What are your thoughts about this? Does he deserve to be out for a year? This is the largest penalty that has ever been handed down in the history of the NFL. With all of your experience as a player, as a coach, how would you handle this? Do you like what the NFL is doing?
Well, the NFL is in a position where they have to do something. And, you know, I think really for Burfict, he's probably, you know, 20 years ago, he'd have been celebrated. You know, he loves football. He's physical. He's a good player. And the hits, you know, that have resulted in suspensions and fines, and now you're talking about maybe a whole season worth of suspension. Those are hits we used to celebrate, but the game is changing. The awareness of the damage that can be done by certain hits, that has been revealed. And so the league has to take steps. If we're going to continue to play football, the league has to take steps to ensure that player safety is at the front and foremost, you know, being considered. And so, you know, Vontaze, I think, despite him, you know, being a guy that loves the game and wants to play and be physical and all that, this is a new era, and you can't take those shots. And so he's been warned. He's been fined. To me, the league is in a difficult spot because they have to take action. Now, you know, the appeal process, maybe that'll lessen it some, and it won't be so dramatic and so drastic. But right now, that's what they're dealing with.
We're talking to former NFL head coach for the Jaguars and the Raiders, Jack Del Rio. Would love to ask you about your other former team you coached, the Jaguars. Gardner Minshew has garnered a lot of attention here early on. What have you seen from him, and are you becoming a believer?
Yeah, I believe in this young man. You know, the Minshew mania is underway in Jacksonville. I was actually there in the opener calling the game on ESPN Radio when Foles went down on that touchdown pass to I think it was Chark. He stepped in. Gardner Minshew stepped in, went 13 straight passes completed. On the day, he looked very comfortable, and I'm like, geez, is this guy this good, or is the Chiefs defense that bad? And I really had questions. Well, it turns out Gardner Minshew is for real, and he's – he's given that franchise just a jolt of energy, and the players are rallying behind him. So he not only has the mustache, but he's also the jockstrap king. So he's been a lot of fun to watch, and you know, I think that'll continue. Now they've got a game against another guy in Kyle Allen in Carolina this week, where both of these guys have stepped in as backups and played outstanding football the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, fun matchup there. I want to ask you about one of the teams you played for, the Dallas Cowboys. They were 3-0. They went into New Orleans and did not look like the team they had been. Do you think they got exposed by a better defense? And what happened to Dak Prescott that night?
Well, I think turnovers. Anything. If anything, it was just turnovers. Mm-hmm. You know, they had Jason Witten and put the ball on the ground. Zeke put the ball on the ground. Those are two drives that go away because of fumbles. And I think Dak had an interception late. But, you know, to me, those were two really good NFC teams, two teams that I was actually at training camp this summer and saw both of these teams live and up close. And they're both loaded with talent, and they'll both be in the mix, you know, when the playoffs roll around.
Okay, Jack, it's time to do some bragging here. So you have so many playing and coaching honors. USC Athletic Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champion as a coach, 1994 All-Pro selection, 1994 Pro Bowl selection, 85 All-Rookie team.
She's turning red as she says this. She's blushing.
And I can do this all by memory. I'm not going to lie. But is there one accomplishment to you that just really stands out more than the others? You know, why or why not?
Well, out of all of those, and believe me, I'm proud of all of that. I'm most proud of going back and getting my degree. I actually finished at the University of Kansas, and I went back and took 10 classes, 30 hours in one semester, and pulled it off and got it done. And so I'm most proud of doing that. I had promised my grandparents that I would get my college education and became the first Del Rio to graduate from college. So I'm most proud of that, trailblazing that way. Athletically, there have been a lot of great moments, but I'm actually most proud of that.
Well, we're proud of you. That's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. 30 hours in a semester, that's impressive.
Former NFL
head
coach Jack Del Rio joining us here on SB Nation Radio. So let's talk about the Chiefs. They're off to a great start. Seemingly nothing can slow them down. How impressed are you by that Chiefs offense and what Andy Reid has put together?
Yeah, it's amazing the level of talent they have. They're Patrick Mahomes, the MVP, running away with it already. It's just amazing what he can do. And then you know, with Andy Reid's creativity and the offensive talent they've surrounded him with, it's exceptional. So I don't know. I think they're probably a little better, you know, through the first month. It looks like they're even better than they were last year when they were downright scary. So Andy's got a lot at his disposal, and he's very creative in how he's using them. That's a fun team to watch, no doubt about it.
Just one more. We just got one more minute. I want to ask you about the Vikings, because Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen, there's been a little back and forth about Stephon Diggs. What's going on there, and how do they get that ship going in the right direction?
Well, I think Mike Zimmer's a darn good coach.
Yep.
You know, and I think he'll find a way to get it right. I don't feel that Kirk Cousins is playing with the kind of courage he needs to play with. Sometimes in the league, you've got to be willing to take one to get one, and I don't know that he's willing to sit in there and take one. And so as a result, you know, he's passing up some opportunities to get the ball to his talented receivers. You know, Thielen and Diggs down the they're open down the field. Again, is another team that I saw live in person against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau, and Kirk Cousins was the difference in that game. I mean, they really had a shot to go in there and get a win, and he put the ball on the ground when he got sacked, fumbling, and he threw pick in the end zone. And it just, to me, live, it just didn't look like, you know, he really had that grit that you need for a quarterback to lead the team to victory. So it's going to be more about the defense and the ground game, and I know that kind of wastes those two really talented receivers, but to me, if they lean on Kirk Cousins too much, he's going to disappoint.
Fair enough. All right, that's Jack Del Rio. Jack, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Good being on. Appreciate it. And Carla, the East Bay, way to go.
we got to stick together, absolutely.
I appreciate you repping, even though the A's went down last night, but I appreciate you repping us.
You got it anytime.
All right, be good.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Okay, that was a great opportunity to visit with former head coach Jack Del Rio. And you're still swooning a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. I am.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Why am I agreeing to this?
It just fits,
right? It's too early, right?
Long ago, I asked you, Rex Ryan or...
Oh, his brother.
Rob Ryan. Yeah, you had the two Ryan brothers as a choice. And you went with Rex, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Jack Del Rio?
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
John Gruden.
I knew it. did.
Yes, it is time you came clean. One or the other. You cannot have them both.
Really?
Sorry. One has better hair. Maybe. I mean, you've got to make this choice. They're both Raiders. They're both head coaches.
I think I'm going to. This is a very, very hard decision.
That's why I've asked the question.
I don't appreciate you putting this on me
this early. It's time we heard from the gloss. You must come out of the closet.
Considering that Jack and I are very mono a mono in our lives. So
oh, I like this. Ron Culver behind the glass hitting just the right music.
I'm going to have to go with Jack.
Jack Del Rio is the winner. Ding, 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 ding. Fantastic.
Gingy, don't be mad at me. I still have love for you. But if I had to choose, how can you? I mean, we're both from the East Bay, born in the same city, like went to school in the same city, followed him to college, Raider connections. I'm all
yeah, you've been stalking him all your life. You can't give up now.
Let's not lie.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Today is Thursday. So we get Thursday night football. Love the fact that you can watch football almost any night. And we've got it for Thursday night. Pretty interesting matchup here with the Rams and the Seahawks. I'm looking forward to this one. The Rams have not been the Rams. I mean, they have been...
Not last week.
I think they've been exposed just a little bit. Todd Gurley may not be the running back that he was a year and a half ago.
You don't think 5 carries, 16 yards looks good on the Rams offense?
Tough week last week for Todd Gurley. Now, Sean McVay has come out and said, well, the reason there were only 5 carries is the game situation. They got behind 21-0. That means you got to open it up and pass all the time. But I think in the past they would have found a way to get Gurley the ball in space, to pass the ball to him out of the backfield. He was just limited in his total touches. I mean, it certainly raises the question, is the arthritis in the knee an ongoing problem for him? Will he ever be the same running back that he was?
It's hard to tell, and he's not ready to talk about it. That's clear.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about it.
No, and he's young. So, you know, I don't think his career is done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think someone's got to come forward and be honest. Either he's got to be honest with himself or something's going on.
Right.
But let's say, you know, everyone's talking about the Rams offense, which is really took a step back last week against Tampa Bay. But you look at Jared Goff, and when using play action plays, which is what they would like to do first for the Rams, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's not a good ratio.
Well, and play action was their bread and butter.
Exactly.
They used Gurley to set up the play action to then enable Goff to have a clean field when he threw downfield.
So, but here's what I want to look at Sunday. I think there's some blame to be put on the defense as well. The Rams had 4 turnovers. That's on the offense.
Yep.
Those 4 turnovers led to 4 Tampa Bay touchdowns. They put 55 points on the Rams. So the defense has got some culpability here as well. So,
no doubt they do, and I do think it's worth noting, watch the defenses that line up against Jared Goff, and they're not really showing their hand until 15 seconds before the snap. So what Belichick did last year to Jared Goff in the Super Bowl, he exposed them. He said, look, I'm not going to let Sean McVay see our defense and tell Goff what to run. I'm going to wait till under 15 seconds, then I'm going to reveal my defense, and Jared Goff is going to have to make the decision at the line of scrimmage about an audible. And it's amazing that it took Belichick in the Super Bowl to do that, but it's happening every week here in the regular season. So then you're left with Sean McVay either has to run a play very early in the play count before the 15-second mark where he can actually make the late call into Jared Goff's microphoned head, or Goff has to make the decision with the last reveal of the defense. And either way, it's been a struggle.
It has been a struggle. So does this give you cause to pause for Jared Goff's contract that was signed about a month ago, $134 million with $110 million guaranteed?
Yeah, so it is just amazing how fickle the NFL can be, because it was not that long ago the Rams were being praised for locking up Todd Gurley and locking up Jared Goff. Both of them now have question marks, one more injury, the other more performance. But it has been a struggle for both of them. And frankly, Goff is not Jared Goff that deserve that contract without a great runner like Todd Gurley. So Gurley's weaknesses really hurt Goff as well.
And without a great coach like Sean McVay, because you saw Jared Goff was going to be one of the biggest busts in NFL history when Jeff Fisher was the coach. So I think that he really is a product of Sean McVay, which is, that's fine.
Yes, coaching does matter.
Coaching does matter, but is he leaning too much on that? Like you're saying, the Mike Dinn helmet, if he doesn't get that play call in time, play action isn't isn't working for him right now.
Well, coaching does matter a great deal. And yes, McVay's influence in play calling has been mitigated a bit by what Belichick exposed in the Super Bowl. I always feel, though, McVay got too much credit too quickly. The genius label in the NFL
I agree.
Is a really rough label to carry. There are only a few.
There's only one way to go, and that's down.
Oh, yes. And
it's one way to go.
Frankly, the whole Sean McVay mojo. He's the genius. He's the next era of coaching. And everyone was looking, quote, for the next Sean McVay. It just was too much. I mean,
too much too soon.
Belichick exposed him in the Super Bowl, outcoached him 100-1. And then we sit here this year, and people are following that model, and the Rams aren't nearly as productive as they were. And frankly, Bruce Arians outcoached Sean McVay last week. So maybe, I'm not going to quite say it this way, but perhaps a little bit, the emperor doesn't have all those clothes. I mean, he may not be quite as great as everybody thought.
I know. I agree with you there. And we need to look at the other side of the game tonight, which are the Seahawks.
Yes.
I mean, so you look at one hand, Russell Wilson has the 8-0 touchdown interception ratio, which is nothing short of amazing in the first four games. But let's look at their opponents. They had Cincinnati, which after we saw on Monday Night Football is not really much of a football team. And they had Cincinnati without A.J. Green. Then they faced Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's out in the first quarter. They had Pittsburgh without Ben Roethlisberger. Then New Orleans, without Drew Brees. Then Arizona, which kind of speaks for itself. How's that air raid looking, Cliff? Yikes! So they have not faced anybody with their star. And I don't know if you saw Russell Wilson's presser after the game on Sunday. He was giddy over this win over Arizona. I thought, did they have a some big game?
It was only the Cardinals.
It was just the Cardinals. So, you know, it was all a buzz over Jadeveon Clowney running in the, you know, the pick six and all of that, which is exciting. But I think the Seahawks are going to be tested a bit, should be tested against the Rams tonight, because they're going to have a chip on their shoulder coming in after that 55-point beatdown on Tampa Bay.
Well, it's an important divisional matchup. That division is
both
tight.
3-1.
They're both 3-1. So, and then San Francisco, of course, 3-0. Cardinals way out of it. But those three teams will contend presumably all season. This is an important matchup. There will be tiebreakers down the road. Going back to the Seahawks defense, though, Jadeveon Clowney, though he maybe has underperformed versus his potential, he was a heck of an athlete for the Seahawks to pick up right before the start of the season for very little draft capital.
Oh, it's very true. I mean, that was, again, you got him from the Texans, and the Texans seem pretty inept at trading, drafting, everything else. So no surprise that he went for basically nothing.
All right, let's talk about another matchup. It's New England versus the Redskins. Could not be more one-sided, right? New England coming in 4-0, Redskins 0-4. And the Redskins are talking about, at least, starting their rookie, Dwayne Haskins. I can't imagine a worse situation to start your rookie than against what I think is the best defense in the NFL.
Right. And remember, the defensive coordinator is now Bill Belichick, as Brian Flores went to Miami, which he's probably regretting that decision. But
yes. Nonetheless,
it also strikes me that it is Thursday morning. We are here, and there is no starting quarterback named yet for the Washington Redskins. There's talks of Colt McCoy. How do you feel about that?
Bring him back. What I feel about that is Redskins are 0-4. They're going nowhere. The whole thrust of this season now is how do you develop Dwayne Haskins' future? And right now, starting him in week 5 against the Patriots, I don't think it's the way you begin his career.
No, you know what you do? You start him in 2 weeks against Miami.
Right. Give him a chance to succeed. I mean, they don't have their starting left tackle. Trent Williams is still a holdout. So the offensive line is porous. Throw Case Keenum and Colt McCoy, either one of them, to the Wolves, and preserve Dwayne Haskins till the Dolphins.
You're paying Case Keenum. Get the most out of him. And Colt McCoy's right there and ready to go. I agree. This is not a situation you put Haskins in at all.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at one of the big matchups this weekend. It'll be Green Bay over Dallas. They've won 7 out of 8, and we're going to see, well, we'll talk about whether Aaron Rodgers can do his magic again.
Instead of you getting crushed by the bookmakers yet again, let Chris Long, Lenny C., and the rest of the team at Win with Sports help you crush them instead.
They offer multiple packages that include their best bets of the week. Just head over to winwithsports.com today. That's winwithsports.com. This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Yao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back and listening to that ad for winwithsports.com. It's a place you can go and get all kinds of good advice about how to place your bets on the weekend. You're the only person I know who doesn't need winwithsports.com, but the rest of us do, right, Ron?
Ron would differ.
No, I mean, you're the only one.
She's the only one. Everyone else, go to winwithsports.com.
And great music this morning, Ron. I'm just really enjoying all of this.
Thank you.
I'm getting my boogie down over here in the studio.
All right. I want to go back to a big matchup. I think it's one of the best matchups of the weekend. It's Green Bay and Dallas, both teams coming in 3-1, both of them coming off a pretty tough loss, a disheartening loss. I mean, they were off to great starts.
Green Bay to Philly at Lambeau.
And a game I think they should have won. I mean, questionable play calling down the stretch. Matt LaFleur questioned for not being able to punch it into the red zone.
You mean you don't like six consecutive passing plays on 4th and 3, 2, 1?
I don't see it.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Jeez.
And I think there are questions on the Cowboys side of the ball. Kellen Moore, the boy genius, had a tough offensive outing. Cowboys offense struggled all night against a tough Saints defense, but the play calling just wasn't very creative. It was run Elliott up the middle all day long, and it was a very unproductive night for Elliott and the offensive line.
So Dallas holds the lead in the NFC East. So this to me, and I'd love your opinion because you know more about those boys than anybody, will this game reveal who's legit?
So the interesting thing about the Cowboys is they may feel a little bit snake bit with against the Packers. Packers have won seven out of eight. And the one that just stands out is that playoff game in Dallas when Aaron Rodgers threw that amazing pass that led to the Packers' win. Cowboys had the Packers on the ropes, but Aaron Rodgers pulled a Houdini act. And, yeah, I think that psychologically, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have to be in the Cowboys' mindset a little bit. Rodgers and the Packers have been a really, really tough hurdle for the Cowboys.
No, it's very true. And I think the only window that might change that narrative this coming week is that I don't feel like the Green Bay offense is in sync yet. And Aaron Rodgers has so much said so. You know, it's a new young coach in Matt LaFleur, and they're getting there. And they have one, to me, really one main offensive weapon, and Devontae Adams, and everybody knows it. So it's a little hard to be creative and tricky.
Well,
and
Devontae Adams is banged up. I mean, it's not clear what he can do this weekend. And you're right, there aren't a lot of weapons there. I mean, Jimmy Graham is long of tooth. That's a fair expression, right?
It is fair. It is fair. And it shows, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get all the balls that he used to get. And I know that the defense has really been surprisingly good this year for the Packers until we saw the defense against Philadelphia. So I think this is going to reveal a lot. This matchup will really reveal a lot.
Well, the Cowboys defense has played well, and they did very well against the Saints. Yes. Kept the Saints
Teddy
out of the end zone.
Teddy
Bridgewater. Saints did not get a touchdown. They got 4 field goals. I do think the Packers offense will struggle against the Cowboys defense. I think the Cowboys defense, if it has shown any weakness thus far, has struggled a little bit to stop the run, and the Packers are not a running team right now. And that was evidenced by Matt LaFleur's play calling in the red zone.
Right.
He just doesn't have the confidence. They're going to put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. This may be the week that Aaron Rodgers feels a need that he has to do the over-the-top, heroic, aggressive move. And I think the Cowboys will be ready for it this time.
And be clear, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to have to lean on his defense to pull them through. I could definitely tell by several of his interviews, he wants the offense to be able to hold their own, and I feel like they're getting there, and so this will be an interesting game. Maybe this is it.
All right, another game I'm looking forward to is Jacksonville and Carolina. If for no other reason, as your man Jack Del Rio said,
exactly.
I mean, you've got these two quarterbacks that have just come out of nowhere and actually played very well. Gardner Minshew, of course, Minshew Mania, all that he's doing for the Jaguars, it's very exciting. And then on the other side of the ball, Kyle Allen, who has, well, he came in and beat the Texans last week. here
no, the
in
Texans
Houston
lost to the Panthers.
Okay.
To be clear. Kyle Allen had 3 turnovers.
Right.
I mean, it was not the Texans defense did a great job on him. The Texans offense, play calling and clock management gave the game to the Panthers on a silver platter.
Right.
So but I'm not sure about Kyle.
You're not ready to anoint Kyle Allen.
I'm not ready yet.
But he threw some balls that I thought looked pretty good. He's shown some flashes. He's shown enough that
yes.
people are saying, "Oh my gosh, will Cam Newton never get his job back?" Which is grossly premature. But that banter is out there. Kyle Allen has shown some flashes. Now, Minshew has shown a lot of ability. He's really moved around well. He's got some calm in the pocket, and he's got the Jaguars' offense in sync. It's what Doug Marrone likes. He likes that play action. He likes that deliberate passing game. He'll throw a lot of short balls, but they spread it around very well. It reminds me a little bit of the best games of that offense when they had Blake Bortles there. Now, Blake Bortles was a failure in Jacksonville, but recall there were some games when that offense moved
sure.
well. It was great play calling, great spreading the ball around. Play action was dominant. Fournette was a factor. All those pieces are coming together with Minshew.
Yes, and Fournette has been a factor. That is true. What Jacksonville, what's going to be the challenge for them is to keep this noise of Jalen Ramsey in check, because Shad Khan, owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, has said, "We're not trading him. I mean, the team is best when Jalen Ramsey is with us." They have been offered, it's been reported, they've been offered 2 first rounders, and they're not moving him. He clearly is not going to play. He now has a back issue. I mean, first it was the flu, then it was the back, then it was the baby, now it's a back again.
Tried to sort of protect him and say, "No, I really think he might be sick." But at this point,
yes, I
do
did.
You think he's really injured, or do you think he just doesn't want to play until he either gets a contract or gets traded?
This is a standoff.
It's a standoff. Right.
I did think he's got the flu. And
yeah.
The only reason I thought that is because as a team, I'm sending my trainer to his home, and I'm giving him fluids, and I'm checking on him. So that Monday, I thought, okay. I mean, legitimately, he could be sick. Well, now with the back and obviously the birth of a child, you can't really fake it. It happens or it doesn't. I do think this is a standoff. You know, Tom Coughlin is a stubborn guy, but he's got the support of the owner. And they're not trading him.
Well, reportedly, some team offered 2 first-round picks for
yes.
Jalen Ramsey. Now, it was a team that projects to finish high in the standings and therefore low in draft, or not a good draft pick. So it would have been 2 picks that would have been sort of late first round, and that was not enough draft capital. Jaguars might do it for a team that is going to finish high in the draft. However, I don't know if those teams are going to do that. So that's the standoff. But notably, Jaguars have said they're just not going to trade him.
So I don't know. Do you think we're going to see Jalen Ramsey on the field in a Jaguars uniform this season?
Not this weekend.
Yeah, not this weekend. No,
I think that I'm going to take the Jaguars at their word that they're going to keep him. I think they think they're contenders, and they really are in their division.
Sure.
So
everyone in the AFC South is 2-2. Every single team is 2-2.
Jaguars have as much of a chance to win that division as anybody, particularly with the way Minshew is playing. You keep Ramsey there, and maybe you can work out a contract in the back half of this year. I think he does come back to play. And then at the end of the season, if there's no contract, maybe you trade him in the offseason in advance of the draft. But right now, Jaguars need him on the field, and they're positioning for a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at another good matchup. 2 teams going all the way to London. It's the Chicago Bears and the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, boy.
It's Chase Daniels, the rise of Chase Daniels for Chicago, the big story there. Who would have thought we'd be in a league that might, in the same week, start both Chase Daniels and Colt McCoy?
It's the year of the backups.
The year of the backups. I think that the Bears' defense is going to give some fits to the Raiders. So
you
looks
don't
like
think Khalil Mack has a little axe to grind with Oakland?
Oh, there's going to be some animation there.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, what's interesting about that, because when John Gruden came, the first thing that happened was that Khalil Mack was traded to Chicago.
Right. That seems like ages ago.
It does seem like forever ago, but it was only a year ago.
Right.
You know, basically. But to be fair, I have seen reports, and I've read it because, you know, I read all things Raiders. He was never going to get on the field again for the Raiders. He did not want to play for them. So it made it look like Gruden said, "No, he's out of here." It was clear when Gruden showed up, Khalil Mack was like, "I'm not playing here." He wanted a trade.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, He wanted out, and hey, that's okay. But it did fall on Gruden's shoulders, but Khalil Mack didn't want part of it. And maybe it was because negotiations were breaking down and they weren't going to give him what he wanted. Nonetheless, he is going to be ready to show them what they gave away.
Yeah, that's a big traded showing. Away. It'll be fun to see Mack against his old team. Bears apparently getting Roquan Smith back, the linebacker,
which is great news,
who missed last week for personal reasons, not disclosed.
And but, I respect that.
Well, right. I mean, we don't know what it is, but right. It's not that every day if an employee comes into this company and can't make it to work one day for personal reasons, that I'm obligated to go tell everyone else in the company why, or that I'm obligated to
tell the entire United
tell the
States
entire
why.
World. Right. Right. Just let him have his peace. Right. But Roquan Smith will play this weekend. He's
that's big for Chicago.
A great addition to that defense that played very well last week, even without him.
No, it's so true. And I think that the success we're seeing, or if you can call it that, with Chase Daniel is really more of a testament to Mitchell Trubisky that he really has not played well this year, that he really is probably not where Chicago would like him. And I don't know that he is their franchise. Therefore, you can get someone like a Chase Daniel that comes right in and makes it look easy. I think that is almost more of a testament on Mitchell Trubisky's lack of where he needs to be than where Chase Daniel is success-wise.
Well, it would set the Bears franchise back a great deal if the guy they drafted way up at the top there is not the franchise quarterback.
I mean, have you seen him look like a franchise
quarterback?
No,
he's not shown that he can be.
No, I agree.
It's still early, and maybe sitting for a while and watching will allow him to sort of regroup and get a different perspective. But at this point, if I were a Bears fan, I'd be very concerned that the search for a franchise quarterback, which has been longstanding and painful in Chicago.
And they're not known as a quarterback team.
I mean, I'm not going to give Jim McMahon great quarterback status. The defense carried that 1985 Bears. So right. You've got to go way, way back to see a great Bears quarterback. I'm still partial to Bob Avellini. I'll go that far back.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's very, very rugged history with the Chicago Bears. And so now they're relegated to Chase Daniels, but we wish them the best.
Yeah, well, you know, and you look at the Oakland side of the ball. They've had the Antonio Brown and experiment fail.
Yep.
The Vontaze Burfict at this moment looks like a failed experiment. I'm just saying, please, Richie, be incognito. Can you?
Oh, yes. I think this will be a good weekend.
We don't need a trifecta of failed experiments in Oakland.
Fair enough. Oh, yeah. No more. All right. We've only got about a minute more on this topic, but I want to ask you about the Texans-Falcons matchup. These are two teams that really need to regroup. I mean, Texans with a devastating loss against the Panthers last week. It was a game at home that everybody envisioned a win, and Kyle Allen and the Panthers got the best of them.
Well, these are two teams that are in search of an identity, and both are really desperate for wins. They both need them, Atlanta and Houston. Here's the positive if you're a Texans fan. Deshaun Watson's record in September is 4-7, 12-4 in October and November. So if you're a Texans fan, you're really glad that the calendar just turned to October, and we can hope for that. You know, the Atlanta, on the other hand, has the second worst turnover differential in the NFL, -5. Only Miami has a worse turnover differential. So this is ripe for the taking for the Houston defense with J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Bernardrick McKinney. I mean, this is their type of game to grab. But do you have faith
it's
in the
a
Bill
little
O'Brien's
early to
Texans?
Make this statement, but it almost feels like a must win for the Texans to fall to 2-3 and to lose those two in home this early in the year would be devastating. Now, of course, they are the team that started 0-3 last year and rallied to make the playoffs. But the division feels tight right now.
It does
feel very
tight.
Competitive. And to lose to the Falcons and go 2-3, there's a lot of pressure on this Texans team.
And you know who you really want to take a look at is Whitney Merciless. He's the Texans' not-so-secret weapon. He registered one sack in four consecutive games this season, forced at least one fumble in three consecutive games, was AFC Player of the Week after the Jacksonville win, where he had two sacks, two forced fumbles, and three quarterback hits. Don't sleep on Merciless.
Fair enough. All right, when we come back, we're going to reveal where the gloss, my co-host here, Carla Dawson, will be this weekend.
You're going to be jealous.
It's going to be swampy when we return on ESPN Nation Radio.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, I love it when you travel, because you don't always travel, but when you do,
no, I don't.
You travel well, and you travel to fun places.
Yeah, I don't mess around. I go big.
And you've got a trip this weekend. Tell the world where the Gloss will be.
I will be in Gainesville for College Game Day, watching Auburn take on Florida. It's Florida's homecoming game, too.
In the swamp.
I'm hitting it all. Yeah, in the swamp. Never been.
You've never been, and there's a little bit of thought out there. Well, are you ready for the swamp? But then I realized, is the swamp ready for you?
I think that's the question.
That's the question.
But for Auburn, this is a tough place to play. Not going to lie. I mean, Auburn has won the last three games, and this is a number 7 Auburn team taking on a number 10 Florida team. I think I'm going to look for Florida's defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham. He loves the blitz package.
Yep.
And, you know, they've got a true freshman quarterback in Bo Nix, who you really love.
I do. I think he's got lots of upside and potential. I mean, it's always hard for a true freshman. But he's shown that he has the ability to make all the throws. He's not disappointed in any way. And, frankly, true freshmen are playing quarterback at a better level than they ever have. I mean, last year's Trevor Lawrence is the poster child of success as true freshmen. They're getting training in high school that enables that. All right, First and 10, thanks so much for joining us. Up next is Brian Barrett here on SB Nation Radio.